Our scripture reading this morning is from Luke chapter 22, verses 7 through 20, the Last Supper. Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare for it?" they asked. He replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters, and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, all furnished. Make preparations there." They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Okay, well, let me ask the adults now, which is kind of what I did earlier. What was your favorite meal growing up? What was the favorite meal that you had?
Spaghetti.
Huh?
Spaghetti.
Spaghetti was your favorite?
Fried chicken.
Fried chicken. Oh my. Yeah.
Pizza.
What kind of stew?
Beef stew.
Meatloaf. I'm telling you, my mom was a wonderful cook. She could cook all the things, and oh my gosh, when she made that barbecue beef sandwich and had the cheese and the turkey, and oh, it was one of my favorite things. Last week we had a great meal last week, didn't we? Wasn't that fantastic? Yeah, we had smoked pulled pork, smoked baked beans. That was a great church family meal that we got to have together. Terry Gravens did a great job. He had a crew of guys helping him out at his place. I went out there on Saturday just to say thanks. There were like four smokers out there at his place, and he just was loving it. Appreciate all the volunteer helpers last week. Thank you to all the volunteers who did so many different things. I know Molly worked a bunch to get ready for that. We had 150 people in worship last week. 150 people, yeah. That was great. Good Sunday. We have more people come after church to come and eat and hang out. So we probably had close to 200, you know, that were here and for the entire event. Really appreciate Coach Christian was here, and he came and spoke, shared his faith story, which was fantastic to learn about kind of the hardships that he overcame as a child and how his faith helped him in that. So overall, it was a great kind of church family event that we got to have because of many of you who helped out. Folks, don't ever underestimate the power of food and fellowship. Don't ever underestimate the power of food and fellowship. The Gospels, the ministry of Jesus would have been completely different, would have been a different story without food. I mean, think about it. Think about the pivotal things that occurred in the Gospels around food and meals. Jesus feeding thousands of people with a few fish, a few loaves of bread. It was a miracle. It was a miracle, which was something. The miracle was something that he transformed a few loaves of bread, a few fish, into food for thousands. But it was something because people wanted to eat together. Because people wanted to gather together and have food and to celebrate. And so 2,000 years later, where we sit now, eating together is still essential and vitally important to who we are as people and to who we are as Christian community, to who we are as church. A great ministry that many churches provide is a meal for a family after a funeral, right? One of those funeral meals that many of you have participated in. I remember my grandma's funeral, and her funeral luncheon. It happened at First United Methodist Church in Perry, Oklahoma. Home of where they captured the Unabomber. I don't know if you want that to be your claim to fame, but that's their claim to fame. It's where they got the Unabomber. Grandpa, growing up, you know, when they were little, Grandpa was Lutheran. Grandma was Baptist. What do you do when you get married and you got a Baptist and a Lutheran? You become Methodist, right? You become Methodist. And so I grew up in Missouri. My parents, they both graduated from Oklahoma State University. And they moved to Missouri, St. Joseph, where they started their lives. And so most of my family growing up, I knew they all lived in Oklahoma and Texas, right? We were the Okies, is what we were. We were the Northerners. At Grandma's funeral, I met people who knew my grandma better than I did. Better than I did. After all, she spent most of her adult life there at First United Methodist Church in Perry, Oklahoma. That was her close family. So after that service, kind church members, they came up to me after that service and at that luncheon that was put on by the church, and they told me story after story about my grandma, about the woman that they knew that they had church meals together with. And that's because church meals are an opportunity for us to know, grow, and love God and love each other. That's the opportunity that's before us at those meals. And so those folks have done that with my grandma for many, 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 many years. They are opportunities that we have as a church family to visit with one another, to get to know one another when we do these things. We sit down together around a table. Why? Because of our mutual love for God that we all have, that brings us to the space, that brings us around that table. The truth is that many of those kind-hearted church members at First UMC Perry, Oklahoma, spent more time around a table with my grandmother than I ever had. Because we live further away. They were her church family. They were her church family. Sometimes we would get to sit down with her. I got to see her sometimes at Thanksgiving, sometimes at Christmas, for all those years because of the distance. But they ate with my grandmother year around, right? Month after month. Our scripture passage today has Jesus in what's a similar scenario. The story in the Gospels that we use to shape our actual understanding of Christian communion actually comes from a famous Jewish meal that they ate together, that they celebrated together annually, every year they did this. In the Gospels, Jesus isn't sharing this famous Jewish meal with his immediate family, as many probably were. He wasn't. Not his mom or his dad or his brothers. He's sharing it with his friends, the disciples, his church family, if you will, right? That was his church family. Before there was church yet. They were the first church family. And the famous meal they are sharing is called the Passover meal. It was the Passover celebration. The Passover was a celebration feast. It actually kicked off a longer 7-day holiday for the Jews. It was the first holiday of a longer 7-day holiday that they called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Flat bread, bread without yeast. And this was actually originally the first of 3 Jewish agricultural celebrations that they had. By agricultural, what I mean is these holiday celebrations they had were all based on the crop harvest. the initial, the first fruits, and the end. And so God had established with them these celebrations of thankfulness for the harvest. And so these Jewish feasts were about giving thanks and harvesting crops and remembering the Passover. The Passover was a little bit different deal that got integrated into that holiday later. The Passover occurred when the Hebrew people escaped Egypt, right? They were slaves to Egypt, making all the brick, working for Pharaoh. God told the Hebrew people to sacrifice a lamb, take that sacrificial lamb, spread the blood of that lamb over your doorway. And what this would be is a sign. It would be a sign to the angel of death to, when it came, that was the last plague that occurred over Egypt, right? There were these plagues. And so in this last plague, the angel of death would pass over any home that had the lamb's blood across the doorway, and the oldest male child would be spared from that home. But not so for the Egyptians. And so Jesus and the disciples, they gathered in the upper room to have this Passover meal together, as portrayed famously in this artwork. This meal that they would have, it was traditionally a meal of lamb with bittered herbs. And unleavened bread is what they ate. You didn't deviate from that on Passover meal. That's what you ate. Because the first Passover meal, when God had gotten them out of Egypt, it was shared in Egypt, and it was made to be consumed quickly so that they could escape Egypt and get out of Egypt, right? He was telling them, prepare this fast, eat this quickly, because when the angel of death comes, Pharaoh is going to be broken, and he's going to send you out. So I want you to be ready. Make it quick, eat it quick, head out quick. And so traditionally, the Jewish people gathered to give thanks for this Passover, remembering that miracle done to set God's people free, but also to give thanks for the abundance of God in a feast called the Feast of Unleavened Bread, flatbread. Mealtime with Jesus. Mealtime with Jesus, it was always a time to know, grow, and love God and one another. And that's what the Passover meal was. And I would say that our meal times, we have the same opportunities here at First UMC. When we gather around the table together, we have this opportunity to know, grow, and love God and one another. I don't know if you remember, it was so long ago, but COVID took these opportunities away from us. Remember COVID? You remember all that happening? It hurt the church. That hurt the church. It hurt the body of Christ. It's what we felt like we had to do in that moment, in that time, but it hurt. But ever since Easter of this year, we've slowly started our mealtime traditions again together as a church. And the most important family meal is communion. It is this Last Supper that we eat together. We call it a meal. You know it's not really a meal. You don't walk away from this going, wow, I sure am full, you know. Thanks, Pastor Jim. Don't need lunch today. It's really the consumption of small symbols that remind us of Jesus' meal that he ate with his disciples, that bread and that cup. But it also reminds us of his sacrifice for us, that Jesus' body was broken, that his blood was shed for us. And so we eat and we drink of his broken body, of his spilt blood. We remember actually the depth of it is that Jesus is our Passover lamb. He is our Passover lamb. As the Jewish people shared in their Passover meal together, their Passover lamb, Jesus becomes for us our Passover lamb. He is the Lamb of God. The communion meal is an opportunity to know, grow, and love Christ, which is why it is a part of worship. Because it's exclusively about Christ. You know, we don't come up and talk together and find out how we're doing. We're focused exclusively on Christ and his love for us and our love for him. But next week we're having another all-church lunch together. Right? We're all gonna sit around tables again. The other church family meal we have started to do again since Easter is gathering together in our fellowship hallway. It was one of the things I heard about when I first came here. And I met with everybody. I'm like, tell me about First United Methodist Church. Everybody talked about those meals that we had together downstairs, sharing them. And so our church board back in the spring decided that it was time for us to have meals together again, that we would begin to go that route. We weren't sure how it would go. We weren't sure that they'd be attended very well. Like, we'll just have to see. And I have to tell you, the past two or three luncheons we've done, we've had so many people, we had to get more tables and chairs out. Every time we've gotten more tables and chairs out in order to fit more folks in that fellowship hall area. And so next Sunday's luncheon is important because the board would like to hear from you about the future direction of our church and some plans that we have. And so my sermon next week is going to be all about kind of the vision direction of our church. And my hope is that you can make it, you can bring something to share with other people, that you join us in the Fellowship Hall area afterwards for something together. These after church meals, they are a great way, I don't know if I've said this yet, for us to know, grow, and love one another. To spend time visiting, learning how your brother and sister in Christ is doing. But I also want to say one more thing, one very important thing to keep in mind when we have these church family meals together. One thing I want you to have in the back of your mind. In order to share that one thing, what that one thing is, I'm going to share something I heard at a Rotary luncheon a few weeks ago from my fellow Rotarians out there. I've got to tell you, the Rotary Club here in town is very much like another family meal, right? Like, we meet on Thursdays, we have lunch together, it's people from different churches, and there are even other pastors there, and so we kind of get together, we visit. We have a guest speaker, right, kind of from the community. I know some of you have been guest speakers for that event. But a few weeks ago, our guest speaker was somebody maybe you've heard of, maybe not. Her name's Magda Reagan. Magda, did I say it right? Okay, Magda Reagan. Magda's a realtor in town. She works with Vanessa. She's one of Vanessa's co-workers with Century 21. Vanessa's our lay leader. She's going to be with us next week as we kind of open our time at lunch, talking a little bit about the vision of a church. Magda, and some of you might know this, some of you might not, she's from the Czech Republic. She's originally from the Czech Republic. Only she grew up before it was a republic. Czechoslovakia was a communist country from 1948 to 1989. And Magda shared her story with us of what it was like to grow up in a nation under communist rule. And she shared some emotional stories about the food shortages that they had in their grocery stores and in their markets. She shared about the healthcare issues that she experienced, shared with us like a really traumatizing experience that she had as a young girl that happened because of the substandard healthcare during the communist rule. She talked about many different difficulties and struggles that her family had to overcome in order to grow up in a communist society. But the most positive thing that she shared was around Christmas time in Czechoslovakia and the traditions they had. Christmas was and is her favorite holiday. It's one of her favorite times. They grew up with many Christian traditions in Czechoslovakia, that meal that they had. Just like the Jewish people, right? The Jewish people had these traditions, these certain things they ate, certain things that they did during the Passover feast, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. There were a couple things that she shared that were interesting, especially when it came to the family meal that they ate together, right? You see, for Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, many of us might have like honey ham, we might have potatoes and the green beans or chicken or something like that. But for Czechoslovakians, kind of like the Jewish people, right? Like you had to have lamb, you had to have bitter herbs. So Czechoslovakians on Christmas Eve eat one thing. Carp. Yeah, carp. Carp. And they actually picked the carp up early, alive, and they put it in the family bathtub for a few days. It's like a built-in aquarium, you know? And you kind of throw fish food in there, watch your dinner eats, and so they had this carp, they keep it alive, and then they cook it, and for the meal, they ate it Christmas Eve, and their main course was this carp. And they would traditionally have carp soup or fried carp balls. Yummy. I love the fish. I've never ate carp, right? Never had carp. So, of course, this caught my attention. This was an interesting meal option that they all shared. And she said it was quite enjoyable to enjoy some yummy, tasty carp for Christmas. But for us, for our conversation, what we're talking about today, it was something else that she said that really caught my attention that I thought was unique. When they sat down for Christmas Eve dinner together, it was always customary to set out an extra table setting at the dinner table. You always set out an extra table setting, and you had to fit an empty seat around the table and have that empty table setting there at the dinner table. Why would you put out an empty table setting, an empty chair? Was it for Jesus? Was it for Santa Claus? Like, who's this empty chair for? Well, the empty chair's out there because you never know who may drop in because they have no place to go for Christmas Eve dinner. You just don't know who might show up. And so it was a tradition that every Czechoslovakian family on Christmas Eve have an extra place prepared at the dinner table, fully ready. Church is really a great gift for those of you who have been a part of a church family for a long period of time, maybe even your whole life, you've been here at First United Methodist Church. It's great to have a church family meal together, to sit down next to someone you've known well for many, many years, to be able to catch up with those folks that you've known for a long time. But also remember to show kindness to those that are new, to our church and to our community. Perhaps you can take an opportunity to sit down at a table next week with someone you don't know all that well. Perhaps you can get to know someone who's maybe brand new to our church family. Maybe they just come next week for the first time, and they're like, oh yeah, I'll do this lunch thing. It sounds great. Think about what it would feel like if you went someplace new for the very first time and went to a lunch and sat down with a group of people who all knew each other really well, but you didn't know so well. What kind of hospitality would you want them to show you as someone new? And the only reason I say this is because we've had a few of these luncheons now, right? Like I think we've had three of them, four of them. They've been great. And I've seen some new people come, and I've seen some new people kind of sit by themselves at some tables. And I don't think they came to a family meal to sit by themselves and to sit with maybe just the family that they came with. Now, maybe they did. Maybe you're like, Pastor Neil, I actually tried to sit down. I said, is this seat taken? And they said, yes, it is. I've seen it happen before at pews, right? Oh, I'm sorry, I see you found my pew, right? I've seen it happen. Church, you know, it's always going to be important to us. It's always going to be important. It's who we are, it's what we're about. Meals have always been central to how we celebrate life as people. You know, think about the good times you've had around the meal table. And so I'm so thankful that we can gather again. We can do this, right? We can do the Lord's Supper. We can have communion together. And we can do these church meals together. We can gather downstairs around tables again. Because family meals, I don't know if I've said this, are an important way we can know, grow, and love God and love one another. But always remember the empty chair. Always remember the empty chair. Keep the empty chair in your heart and in your mind. And please try to always create a little extra space in your life and in your church for someone who is new. Because you know this, I know you know this, life can be hard. Life can be hard. Sometimes people have come here, they're coming to church because life's hard. And so to come downstairs, and I know this is hard to believe, but it's true, there will be a day where someone down there, you sit down next to them, and a warm meal and a friendly conversation will put that person closer to God than they've ever been before. Sitting next to you, having a warm meal, having a good conversation. Let's just keep that in mind. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for our church family. Lord, I thank you for getting us through COVID in so many ways and the challenges and the new things we learned through that. Lord, we missed one another. We missed one another desperately. We missed family meals. We missed communion. And so, Lord, we just celebrate in our hearts that we can do these things together again. Lord, would you help us to always remember the empty chair? Help us to remember the empty chair. And sometimes that happens in our sanctuaries with our space here, people who will be here. Sometimes it happens in meals. Lord, but it happens in life, doesn't it? It happens in life a lot. And so help us to take on the posture of the empty chair in all aspects of our lives, that we would welcome people in to the family of God as if they've always been here. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.